from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Miko was asked about the rat poison yesterday, the rat poison of exuberant positivity from people who a year ago were not all that positive about the Houston Texans. The national media, perhaps some of us locally here, there's even a text from a listener saying, y'all are too positive. It's starting to scare me. I'm nervous. Hey, man, there's a lot to be positive about. I'm not gonna fabricate negativity. Why would I do that?
Somebody yesterday accused me of being a coward because I was pointing out, you know, Anthony Richardson's the threat that he is and all the things that apparently unless you if you show any respect or focus on what the challenges might be, you're a coward. I fear for how that guy conducts his life.
I feel like that's a rough way to walk around, man.
I like thinking about him like, yeah, he's got some image that D'Amico and Caserio and all the coordinators get together every week. Like, we're going to kill these guys. Yeah, oh, my God. Yeah. They suck.
Yeah.
Oh, they suck. It's crazy how good we are compared to these guys. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So
don't worry. It's both sides of it. You know, there's things to be excited about. There's things to be concerned about.
Of course.
That's life, baby.
Of course. Of course. I think, you know, sometimes it's just the general excitement of the season is here. Bleeds over and you tend to focus on those things. Now, D'Amico, behind the scenes, he will say, we don't pay attention to the outside noise, i.e. the rat poison. Here was a fun exchange yesterday on that with the media in his press conference.
I hope they don't mess with rat poison. Players just got to focus on themselves and execute it. And that's it, right? It's what you're speaking of, rat poison. It's what I defer to as just outside noise, right? And in today's world, it's so much at our fingertips of social media, and everybody pretty much has an opinion on something, right? Not necessarily being that it has to be true, but anybody can say anything they want, and it's news now, right? And it's a slight to you guys who put in the work, right, every day and are here and see, you know, what the guys go through on a day-to-day basis. But our guys can't get caught up into whoever is saying what on the outside. It truly doesn't matter. Only thing that matters is about you focusing on yourself and going out and proving to your teammates that you're going to be reliable. You're going to be exactly where you're supposed to be. You're going to do exactly what you're supposed to do on each and every play. And that's how we operate here.
All right, so that was D'Amico. There was a funny follow-up to that. I don't know if it was Landry or somebody asked him, like, about back in his day, you know, the rat poison. You know, D'Amico's 2006, so Twitter's not even a thing yet, all those things. And D'Amico said, yeah, all we had was positive articles by John McClain all the time. It was really funny. John was right there.
It got a big laugh.
It got a big laugh.
I searched John McClain pathetic right after I had heard that, just to remind myself of John's brimming positivity.
Yeah, well, there's two Johns. There's the brimming positivity in his articles, and then there's the one that invades his soul for 3 hours during the game on social media. It's
his id.
It's his id and his id and his ego, man, in a battle. So that was D'Amico on the rat poison. He's talked about that many times. The outside noise, we try not to listen to it. I personally think it's really hard for players in this day and age not to at least hear it. I think it's it's more of a skill on how you process it or maybe choose not to process it than it is avoiding it. I think it's almost impossible for 22 to 30-year-olds to avoid in this day and age to hear what the outside world is saying about their especially when this team is as prominent as it's been this offseason. It's almost impossible.
I think it's one of those things where you got to talk to your players just about how to manage it. And in the old days, it was the two things you had to worry about was what the guys were reading in the paper and what they might be hearing from their family. And in a lot of ways, that dynamic hasn't really changed because the family members sometimes are the ones that a guy will try to be off social media, but then you got family and friends texting him screenshots of various things people have said. Yep. And that's where sometimes as a coach, you just got to tell your players that, like, man, you got to just set expectations for people in your personal circle that you're trying to focus on your job and you don't need to hear about all this stuff. But it's definitely a much different world. I think that D'Amico's pretty well suited for it because he was still playing when that, I mean, like, what was the first year Twitter was in existence?
I jumped on in 2009 and I was fairly early. I think it was like 2007. It was very early in D'Amico's career. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So, oh no. Yeah. And like right around that time, it was funny. 2005, 2006, 2007, that range, that was when like people were still just seeing what Facebook was, getting accounts, MySpace and all that. And it was kind of weird because there was a lot of stuff going on that nobody had ever dealt with before. D'Amico's been a player through all of that. He knows the downside to all of it. And I think you can probably have pretty good conversation with guys about limiting your exposure to that stuff. But it's a brand new challenge that coaches have only had for the past decade or so.
So let's put the Texans to the test. If any of the players or coaches or anybody from the organization that's not allowed to eat the rat poison is listening right now, I'm going to serve up some rat poison here. And you guys are just going to have to try to filter it out. Don't change the station, please. Here's some rat poison from somebody who used to play with D'Amico Ryans. J.J. Watt was on the Pat McAfee show yesterday, and he was talking about the Texans and how he thinks they're going to handle the big expectations.
To make winning a Super Bowl the absolute expectation on a second-year coach and a second-year quarterback is tough, but I don't think it's unrealistic to think of it as a possibility, and I don't think that setting the expectation of a very deep playoff run is out of the question by any means. Now, just think about it. You have to think about the teams they had last year and what they were able to accomplish and do. And what have they done since? They've added Stephon Diggs. They've added Joe Mixon. They've added Danielle Hunter, Autry, Aziz. They've added some of these guys to an already stacked team. They were able to keep their offensive coordinator, Bobby Slowick, during all the head coach carousel this offseason, which is a huge win. To be able to have CJ under the same offensive coordinator, adding more weapons. One of the questions you have and that you want to see and how it's going to play out is there's only one ball. You got to spread it amongst these incredible playmakers on the offensive side of the ball, and it's going to give defensive coordinators nightmares. But I think that CJ and D'Amico, the demeanor that they have, the way that they attack each day, and the way that they lead that team, nobody's set up better to handle this type of hype and expectation than those guys. So I'm very, very bullish. It's going to be a lot of fun, man. I mean, even just watching these clips, man, like Nico Collins, one of the best wide receivers in the league, and he slept on.
Yeah, I agree with JJ on that. Like, I do think CJ and D'Amico have the right demeanor to handle all this stuff. I'm more worried about the upgrade in the schedule than I am these guys not being able to psychologically and mentally handle this elevation that they've been granted in the offseason here by everybody, you know?
What I would worry about, honestly, more so than anything, is they've had some success, and I worry zero about CJ Stroud getting complacent or anything. I do worry sometimes that he might press too hard. That, you know, when you've got lofty expectations of your own and he wants the offense to be a certain way. And now I think he is turning into that almost like heavy, healthy level of maniacal obsession. It's a healthy obsession with it is what you'd like it to be. But like sometimes you gotta know how to find that balance between wanting everything to be perfect and wanting everything to play all out. And sometimes that's harder the better you get at things because the standards change. So there's going to be hiccups, and they've worked their way through hiccups before. But I think one of the new challenges this year is just almost just putting too much pressure on yourself instead of letting the game come to you. But I'm not overly worried about it. But there were times out at practice, you know, where you could tell CJ was really frustrated when a drill wasn't going well. And don't get me wrong, I saw the exact same thing when I was able to watch the Patriots practice. Tom Brady flipped the hell out after a 7-on-7 drill, which I believe ended in a touchdown against the Texans, but it was a 7-on-7 drill that wasn't going the way Tom. He flipped out, but it's a new expectation and it's a change. So, just navigating through that can sometimes be difficult.
He flipped out, and that year they only scored 13 points in their Super Bowl win.
He was right. He was probably fuming after the Super Bowl. I told you guys back in West Virginia that this was going to come back to haunt us.
They only scored 13. Yeah, Tom, we gave up three. It's all good. You're going to get a ring. Yeah. Another one.
I'm not trying to paint it out like it's a bad thing or anything. Right. It's just that's sometimes it's a, every year there's different obstacles. Like navigating your way through one obstacle one year doesn't mean that you're going to just, hey, I'll have the exact same obstacle next year. It's a good obstacle to have.
Absolutely. We'll hear from CJ in just a minute here. I just wanted to serve up one more rat poison dessert here after JJ's rat poison. This is Colin Cowherd, not always a big Texan fan. He likes them a lot coming into this season. He did his herd hierarchy for right before the season. These are the equivalent of his power rankings. He does a top 10. And the Texans are in there. They are at
number 8.
The Texans. You know, I was thinking sophomore slump, but there's a couple of numbers that are amazing. Did you know they had the fewest turnovers in the NFL last year with a rookie quarterback?
I did.
At 14. They are hyper efficient. C.J. Stroud makes no mistakes. D'Amico Ryan's a rock star as a coach. Then they add Stephon Diggs, Danielle Hunter, rush end, Joe Mixon. I liked their roster last year. They added three high-end starters. Again, I don't know if the division's any good. Like Atlanta, I think they could run away with this thing. Texans at 8.
Okay. Do you think the Texans could run away with the AFC South, Seth? Do you feel like... I mean, they could. I suppose anything's possible. Do you, like...
Right.
He feels strongly about it. It sounds like Cowherd does. Like, how good do you think this division is going to be?
I think it's going to be a lot like it's been in the past. I think one of these teams ends up being just absolutely stank, and I think there will be a couple that are 500 or above 500 or so. And I think the Texans by far have the best chance, just because of the stability at quarterback and just him operating at a different level. Anthony Richardson is an unknown quantity. Trevor Lawrence is probably better than you want to believe, but I still think just definitely not a top-tier quarterback, and until he proves otherwise, I just don't see, like, other than one stretch at the end of 2022, I don't really see what you base it on. So, runaway, I don't know what's that mean. Like, do they have four more wins than the next best team?
I would say, yeah. Like, runaway is they go like 12-5, and everybody else is, you know, 8-9 or worse, that kind of thing. Like, they're just clearly the best team in the division. So yeah, four games, it feels like there's a runaway in the division. I don't see that happening.
The one thing when people, because I've seen some people talk about how, hey, the Texans had a really good turnover differential last year, and you can't count on that from one year to the next. I think a lot of those people haven't really looked into the actual numbers behind that. The Texans' defense was just kind of middle of the pack at taking the ball away. So this was much more about CJ protecting the ball. Go back to that Week 2 game versus Indianapolis last year. CJ had a fumble when getting sacked that I don't think he would have anymore. And then he was very careful with the interceptions. Quarterbacks who don't throw interceptions, that tends to be pretty consistent from year to year. It might not be as low as 5 this year. I could see it actually being lower. It might be a few higher, but I think that's something that's pretty consistent year to year. So if anything, yes, the Texans had a really good turnover differential, but it wasn't by the random luck or chance of falling on fumbles, or you had a really good year of interceptions. I think the Texans defense credibly you should be expect to force more turnovers. Mm-hmm. So I don't think that's one of those regression to the mean things that the gamblers and whatnot talk about.
I'm with you on that. The number that I've seen floating around this week, because they're playing the Colts, or CJ, the back of CJ's football card, so to speak, versus the AFC South, the six games, or he's only played five games against the AFC South because he missed the Tennessee road game last year. He didn't throw an interception in any of those games. That's my under-the-radar streak that I want to stay alive for as long as possible. Like, no picks against any of the division foes. I thought that was pretty cool. So there's Cowherd.
There's a part of me that's beside. I look forward to the game when he has three interceptions in a victory, which all the great quarterbacks have multiple times throughout their career.
He has one against Arizona last year. He threw three picks in the Arizona game.
Oh, there
game.
Was three interceptions in that game. Yeah. Okay, yeah, there you go. Yep. All right, well, I don't look forward to it anymore.
Check that box.
Now I will crush him. I will crush him. They won in spite of him, not because of him.
It is wild, though. Like, he threw five interceptions, and three of them were on a bad day at the office. You know what I mean? Like, that's how good. He was so good. I mean, I cite this all the time. Everybody knows about the streak at the beginning of his career with 192 straight passes without a pick. I'm just as impressed that he finished the season with 198 pass attempts without a pick. You know, like that clearly the defenses did some things to adjust to him, and he threw some interceptions. And then once he threw that last one against, it was in the Arizona game. He threw the three against Arizona. He didn't throw a single one after that for the rest of the year, including the postseason. It's just, he's so impressive, man. He's so impressive. Here is CJ Stroud. What do you hope to accomplish this season? I thought this was an interesting answer.
I would say, like, for me, I would say I wanted to start faster. You know, it doesn't have to do with, like, a certain game, just, like, in general, like, the season. You know, last year we started off really slow and just kind of had to, like, build our way back. And, like, it's not an easy thing to do. So I would say this year is, like, we want to start fast. We want to gain confidence early. I think we put in the work for training camp. And now, you know, it's just it's up to us to go out there and do it this Sunday and, you know, put our best foot forward. But, you know, really just that was my big thing, is just starting fast.
Yeah, you know, and I think a lot of that, honestly, just to overly simplify it, was on the run game. Because CJ was doing some really good things. People around the league were taking note, but they weren't necessarily scoring points in droves, other than the Jaguars game and the Steelers game. Remember, that Jaguars game was kind of funky. There were some weird things that happened in that. The blocked field goal, the kickoff return for a touchdown. Yeah, there were some things in that game that wasn't offense based that they scored so many points. But then they went through a long stretch where it really wasn't until the Bucs game where they started really pouring it on offensively in some respects. It all hinges on the run game, and I think the run game will be better. I think with as long as Joe Mixon is healthy, regardless of the offensive line improving or anything like that, they're going to be able to complement the passing game better. So I trust that they're going to get off to a faster start this year.
Yeah.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges. And acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the audio.
You sit in traffic now, but later there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
The Bucks game is when it started rolling. Keep in mind, the Bucks game came the week after the Carolina game, which was probably their worst offensive game of the year. So that was the week where CJ went to the podium. This is actually a good segue into what we're about to talk about here, because that was the week CJ went to the podium after that Panthers game and said they needed to attack downfield more. They needed to be more explosive. You know, the narrative became CJ and Bobby Slowick, and having those conversations with things CJ wants to do versus how Bobby wants to run the offense. CJ was asked about that yesterday and talked about his relationship and watching film with Bobby Slowick.
I feel like I've grown, one of just like trusting Bobby and everything that he stands for when it comes to just philosophy and how he calls it. So, you know, I've been able to go and just watch games with him and, you know, pick his brain and see how he watches film and, you know, why he calls certain plays when he calls them and whatnot.
It's actually a really good minute long clip, but I didn't want to get too watered down with like the three other really good things he says after that. There were two things about that clip specifically that were interesting to me. One, use that word trust, and it's just really interesting because that was one of the questions people had about CJ. One of the potential drawbacks in his scouting reports was, you know, whether he had trust issues, this, that, the other, all of that. I do think, man, there's a part of CJ that doesn't stand for any BS. And I think if they had given some slappy offensive coordinator to handle him his rookie year, it might have gotten ugly.
Yeah.
I honestly think if it hadn't been somebody who's as impressive mentally as Bobby Slowick is, and CJ hadn't felt like he could trust him, and it wouldn't have been CJ's fault. It would have been D'Amico's fault or Nick Caserio's fault. Like at the root of it all, I'm not saying. But the fact that D'Amico had Bobby Slowick and handpicked Bobby Slowick to come with him, that was, I think, even bigger than maybe we realize. But the other part of that, too, was informing that trust. CJ sitting down and watching film with Bobby Slowick is fascinating to me because they're both football nerds. They are both extreme football nerds. Bobby Slowick grew up the son of an NFL coordinator and kind of just like Kyle Shanahan and Bill Belichick, you know, whose father was a coach in the college ranks, had this exposure on a very intellectual level to all this stuff early on. And I just think of Bobby sitting with CJ and in some ways kind of like giving like CJ is probably like his dream childhood of being able to just have these high level discussions about different types of different defenses, different quarterbacks, different offenses and everything. And I feel like if CJ had grown up in one of those environments, he'd already be like Nemo, basically, or Neo, not Nemo, the exact opposite of Nemo. He'd be like Neo from The Matrix. he would be seeing things in binary code because that's the kind of brain he has.
Yeah.
And guys like Kyle Shanahan and Bobby Slowick, I think they do just see the game differently because of their exposure to it at a high level at an early age.
Yeah.
So that's the part that it makes me excited about this relationship this year between the two of them, but it also, there's a part of me that's like, oh man, how do you replace that after Bobby Slowick goes off and gets an opportunity somewhere else?
Yeah, I mean, I trust D'Amico in replacing him. I'm guessing he's got a long list of guys he thinks can do just as good a job. It's interesting when you lay out, the way you lay out like how well CJ meshes with Slowick, but when you laid out the opposite of that, like if they had hired, to use your word, a slappy at OC, it gets me thinking about the Carolina Panthers and how people in Carolina just think, oh, if we just drafted the wrong guy, if we had drafted CJ Stroud, all would be well. We would be the Texans. And that's not the case. And this is where I think I'm going to give credit to the Texans here, because they got the right guy in CJ Stroud, clearly the right guy instead of Bryce Young. And I was wrong about that. A lot of people were. But you do have to credit DeMeco for getting the right OC for him, getting the right quarterback coach for him, Nick Caserio for putting the right guys around him, it would appear. It's only been 1 year. So there's a lot that goes into CJ. And now CJ deserves most of the credit, but there's a lot that goes into it. I envision, like, when you lay that, I 100% agree with what you said, Seth. Like, I think CJ, if he got put in a situation where, like, he feels like, I'm way smarter than all these guys. Who are these idiots they gave me here to do this thing?
Yeah.
That could get ugly. And it does make me think, like, if he had gotten drafted by Carolina, what would that have looked like last year? You know, with Frank Reich and that whole crew. Like, would Frank Reich have dragged CJ down? Would Frank Reich still have a job if CJ Stroud were there? It's a fascinating what if that I'm glad we don't have to live actually through, because CJ Stroud is our quarterback, but it's interesting.
The thing about Reich that's interesting is that he's kind of getting a reputation now as a guy that doesn't necessarily handle his offensive line the best way. And because in Indianapolis, the offensive line seemingly underperformed when he was there. I think it would have been better for Bryce Young if he was in Houston, but there's also a part of me that's very skeptical about how he's going to handle NFL pockets. Yeah. Because he's not athletic enough to run away from trouble,
so
you know,
tiny.
And he's too short. He's too short to navigate through the pocket the way a more traditionally sized quarterback would. Yeah. And that's one thing that CJ improved at through the course of last season, dealing with a muddy pocket, the pocket movement, all that stuff, and put a lot of time and effort into it. And I think that was another part of the good working relationship with Bobby Slowick. Bobby and CJ have both talked about this, you know, adjusting to the pocket as the pocket shifts and changes. And both those guys, both CJ and Bryce, were guys that came from programs where they didn't necessarily face a whole lot of they didn't face NFL style pockets, you know, or NFL style pass rushes because of the strength of their offensive lines in front of them. And CJ has just adjusted to the NFL side of it a lot better.
Yep. So that's CJ Stroud. Now, as we roll on here on a Thursday, Payne and Pendergast, first day of the NFL season tonight, Ravens and Chiefs. You can hear the game here on Sports Radio 610. We had a few people texting, where is the game? Like, I think people are used to the Thursday games are typically on Amazon. I think this is an NBC joint tonight. I think NBC typically gets the season over. You can listen to it right here.
What
on
the
Sports
hell?
Radio 610.
Why can't it be like it was when I grew up, when I watched Thursday night football on the place where I did my online shopping?
It's true.
I want some consistency in this life.
Yep.
All those late nights, remember back in the 1990s when you'd stay up watching Thursday night football and you'd come into school tired the next day?
Because you were online shopping all day? Yeah.
Yeah, so all the online shopping I did my freshman year in high school, 1990.
That's right. It's on NBC tonight, people, if you want to watch it on TV. You can listen to it here on Sports Radio 610. Yeah.
No, it was 1989 during my freshman year in football season. What the hell?
Yeah.
I might as well just pack it in. I'm old.
No, stop. You're old. I'm 7 years older than you. Shut up. All right,
Sean, I was watching Thursday night football in 1989, and the Berlin Wall hadn't even fallen yet. My God.
It is true. The Berlin Wall part. The Texans got their quarterback room kind of lined up here now for the next couple years. Davis Mills signs a one-year extension yesterday that will keep him here through 2025. Here was DeMeco Ryans yesterday on Davis Mills' one-year, $5 million extension.
Extending Davis is something that he earned. Right? Davis had a really great training camp. He saw big-time improvement from last year to this year. Thought he handled camp really well, playing some of his best ball in training camp. He went out and proved it, and it's snaps that he was able to get in the preseason. So everything Davis has gotten, he's earned, and he's done a really great job for us this year.
The interesting part about that to me, Seth, is that, and you know, I don't think this is why they gave Davis the one-year extension. I think this is just sort of an unintended benefit to it. But
yeah,
that it does send a message as to how important training camp is and those practices are. I mean, DeMeco just basically laid it out. Just to illustrate, Davis Mills was yanked as the backup quarterback in week 15 of last year. He's the backup all year, and then in week 15 and 16, they said, you're not good enough to start these games. We're starting Case Keenum. That was late in the season last year. The only thing that's happened in between then and now for Davis is training camp of consequence, and that he earned a one-year $5 million deal. Again, I don't think this was why they did it, but I do think it does send a message to the team like, hey, man, like we'll reward you for, you know, we'll reward you for all of it, not just,
right,
you know, not just the game stuff.
I think that, you know, this goes back to when the Texans first hired Bobby Slowick. I went back and watched his interviews from the 49ers, and there was one that really intrigued me, and it was him talking about developing Trey Lance alongside Jimmy Garoppolo, and Brock Purdy was in the conversation. He wasn't in the conversation yet. He basically said, you know, we've got some experience with this now, and it's in this system that you start to get, the way he laid it out, it almost sounded like a syllabus of there's certain things that you got to get good at, and then you move on to the next thing, and then you get good at that, and then you move on to the next thing. And it's the power of a system that every one of these Shanahan, Kubiak guys puts their own spin on it. But I think there are certain steps in the process that you're looking to see that a guy can handle. And then you can move on to the next chapter in the syllabus. And because of that, I mean, that's why some fast food franchises are really, really good, because they've got a set system of the way things are supposed to be run, and you know whether or not somebody's running it the right way. I think the Shanahan offense in a lot of respects is like that. So Slowick's been through this now with a bunch of quarterbacks from San Francisco on to here, and I think they probably identified and saw Davis Mills just kind of commanding the material better than he had been before.
Yeah, and it's not overly pricey. You know, it's 1 year, $5 million. You get some stability behind CJ. You know who the backup's going to be for the next couple of years.
I thought you were talking about Chick-fil-A. I was like, yeah, that is a good franchise. It's not overly pricey.
It is a really good franchise, yeah. So, Davis, the question I was interested in hearing the answer to yesterday was why Davis Mills thought this was now was the time to do this extension. I think my feeling is that if I had to guess, Davis may have left some money on the table. I think if he hit free agency, that he would have gotten more than this. I think he would have got more years. I think he would have gotten more money. But what was the thought process? They asked him in locker room yesterday.
A lot of different factors. I kind of let my agent, my people handle all the business side of it. Obviously, I had a little insight, but I mean, my main focus is just going out there and becoming a better player each and every day, putting my head down and just getting to work. So I'm glad that I was able to reach a decision and sign the extension, but I mean, really just here to play football and make the guys around me better.
Not a ton of insight there. I think from Davis, it was, and my agent handled it. I just got to go be the best football player I can be. Your thought process on it yesterday, Seth, I thought was interesting. Like, yeah, but just he wants one more year in this system here, you know? Like, it's, you know.
There's a financial side to it, I think, that makes like, there are some clients, and if they've got the right agent, it's kind of nice for the agent where they don't have to worry about placating the guy's ego. And David, they're reasonable, and they say, I've got perspective on this. There's a certain a chunk of money that I think is respectable and is, like, to the average person on the street is a fortune. And sometimes those agents, if they're not trying to prove themselves or something, they can have a good conversation with the team about, like, okay, this makes sense. I do think, as far as just on the football side of things, if Davis feels, just like CJ trusts Bobby Slowick to develop him, I think if Davis feels like, you know what, I'm in a good situation with good coaches and in a system that a lot of other teams in the league are running right now, I want to get as good as possible in this system. And if I have a chance to play over the next 2 years, it's going to be with, like, a Brock Purdy assortment of supporting casts.
Yeah.
Davis is basically that if he steps in now with this offensive talent around him, it's a lot like Brock Purdy the last couple years. So his best chance at really putting the best version of himself out there is probably on the Texans sometime in the next 2 years. And then the other, to extend that even further, like, quarterbacks are the opposite of running backs. I don't think a young quarterback has to think, oh, I've only got so much time to prove totally, myself. Yeah. Yeah, I think it's, man, if I take care of myself, I can play until I'm 40.
Yep.
There doesn't have to be a huge hurry to get it done right now, this moment. I've got time. Let me sit in this incubator for a couple years and really just become the best absolute quarterback I can be.
One more from Davis Mills. What goes through your mind after all you've been through? I mean, he's been through multiple head coaches, multiple OCs, started only 13 games in college. I mean, he has had a very jagged journey as an NFL quarterback. What goes through your mind after all you've been through?
If you include college, this is my fourth scheme in 4 years. So there was a lot of learning each offseason to try to get to really day one and hitting the ground running. But coming back into a familiar scheme, familiar teammates, a lot of faces, building that chemistry already from previous seasons, I think it's very beneficial to just our team as a whole and then myself personally.
It is crazy to think. I think of all those guys that got drafted in like 2020 and 2021 with this team that are still on the team now. It's got to feel like Shangri-La, you know, compared to the first few years here. They're just swapping everybody out every year. It's crazy.
Well, it was like Alex. It was like Alex Smith in San Francisco.
Yeah.
You know, he'd had three different offensive coordinators in his first 3 years. And then, he hooked up with Jim Harbaugh, and it was a whole different scenario. He just became a completely different quarterback. And, you know, Davis Mills doesn't have the same physical talent that Alex Smith did, but you can appreciate just how refreshing it must be. And that is another thing. Like, you hate to pin it down to one thing that made Davis Mills potentially forego a short-term payday, all of that. I think it's the complete and total package of all of those things that just led to it. It feeling like, if I have perspective on this, if I'm Davis Mills, leave money out of it. This is a pretty good situation to be in. And if I genuinely want to be as good as I can be, this is probably my best avenue. Not to mention, I don't want to discount this part of it. It's fun being on a good team.
Yeah.
It's a lot more fun being on a good team than it is going to a team that might just be looking at you as a guy that's a fill-in until our high draft pick, because we suck, gets his feet underneath him. It's a better feel in a lot of ways.
Yeah, dude, I'm 100% with you on that last part. I think it says a lot about what it's like in the building over there right now that Davis chose to sign that deal for sure. All right, we have the opener tonight, Ravens and Chiefs. You can hear that on Sports Radio 610. We have our first ever Friday opening weekend game in Brazil tomorrow, Eagles and Packers. We've already had to see our first apology doled out to the country of Brazil from a player.
They didn't do it on Twitter.
That is coming up. That is coming up next.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.